Listen, I did film and television studies at university for 3 years. I spent hours reading countless books and articles on subjects spanning from film all the way to television. Not a single one mentioned Hugh Grant once.
I achieved the hardest qualification across any university or college ever, a 2-1 in history. Let me tell you, the only thing that I learned was that we, as a society, have a history of denying and neglecting Hugh Grant's artistic and cultural relevance, not just in this country, but in the entire world.
I met Oscar at a Hugh Grant-themed event I put on at the Students' Union.
It felt as though Digory and I were the only ones there. And we agreed that there was a Hugh Grant-shaped hole in academia.
We decided to put it right ourselves. We want to show people that he's an icon in acting.
We want to show people he's more than just a bumbling posh guy.
I'm Digory Waite.
And I'm Oscar Beardmore Gray.
And this is...
Taking Hugh for granted.
Hello and welcome to Taking Hugh for Granted, the podcast in which two Hugh Grant enthusiasts watch every single film starring Hugh Grant in the attempt to answer the simple question, is this film taking Hugh for granted? Is this film good on its own or does it rely on the bumbling Brit for its acclaim? I'm Digory Waite and I'm joined as always by my colleague and fellow Hugh Grant obsessive Oscar Beardmore Gray. Oscar, how the hell are you doing today, mate?
Diggs, I'm very, very well and I'm doing even better than normal because Christmas has come for the second time.
Oh yes,
I have. I know I mentioned on the Best of 2020 episode that I hadn't received any Hugh Grant related presents. It was a very sad Christmas for me. Whereas you, you received your Hugh Grant mask, which I still haven't ordered. But anyway, I have now received a very late Christmas present with a Hugh Grant related theme, and I'm going to show it to you now. The people won't be able to see it at home, but your reaction hopefully will say it all.
So I can't wait.
It is a little triage of Hugh Grant's Love Actually dance.
Oh my word.
But sort of, you know, not the actual photos, but kind of like paintings, illustrations. And it's a beautiful.
And they're framed.
Yeah, framed.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. So you can put them up on the wall.
Yeah.
And be reminded of Hugh Grant all the way. And you'll probably, if you put them up on the wall, you'll probably be dancing past it just like Hugh Grant. And you'll be looking at them on the wall and go, yeah, mate, you inspired this dance.
I should probably put them, like, actually, a good place for them might be on the stairs. Because, like, when you go down the stairs, you'll be doing the, the little jig.
Exactly. Or at a place sort of on the landing so that you can do the, with two bits opposite, so you can do the bit where he sort of like crabs along.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's amazing. Who got you those?
My sister. So shout out to my sister. She's a dutiful listener. She listened to that episode. Heard I was upset that I hadn't got any Hugh Grant related presents. So and it's from a lady somewhere in the Midwest of the United States. There seems to be a lot of Hugh Grant fans in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say they weren't called Mary by any chance, were they?
It wasn't Mary. But if you want something to spice up your house, spice up your life at the moment, you know, these are great. So I'm sure they would be very, very willing to have your service.
And your custom, indeed. Well, I mean, they'll definitely be getting mine. I hope the shipping is cheap from the Midwest, but we'll have to see. Speaking of spicing up your life, shall we have a little discussion about, and just before that, a synopsis of, The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain?
The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain, directed by Christopher Munger and released in 1995. In 1917, an English cartographer named Reginald Anson, played by Hugh Grant, visits the small South Wales village of Ffynnon Garw, to measure what the locals claim to be the first mountain in Wales. The villagers are very proud of their mountain and are understandably disappointed, indeed furious, to learn that when measured, their mountain is only technically a hill. Not to be outwitted by a rule and the Englishman who enforces it, the villagers set out with shovels and spades to sculpt their hill into a mountain.
Diggs, The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain. Initial thoughts.
Oh, I'm so glad you've actually asked me this because, the film starts and it's a little boy and his old granddad or something is like wah, wah, wah. And then it cuts to like the credits, like title sequence, when it has, you know, Hugh Grant, first billing, by the way, sick, and then, you know, blah, 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 saying all the actors are in it, and in the background it's got like just loads of different maps of Wales, and they're just like zooming in on the map and then they're zooming out on the map, they've got the map sideways, they've got it's the most boring title sequence you've ever fucking seen in your entire life. Think of the title sequences you've seen, the amazing ones back, like obviously everyone's thinking James Bond, you know, the silky ladies with the guns and the, you know, fucking poker cards and all that sort of stuff, like red blood spilling out. It's literally just picture of a map, they'll zoom in, a map sideways, like Wales, what it looks like on a map is not very interesting. And that, I think, very much...
didn't bode well, did not bode
exactly.
Well.
Exactly.
And another thing I wanted to talk about before we really get into the nitty gritty here is maybe we should just break down the title of this movie. The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain. Yeah. I'm going to put it out there as the worst title of a film in modern history. It is a tongue twister if there ever was one.
But you know what? It is. And I was thinking that. And I think the people at Miramax, I mean, all hold up your crucifixes. for, you know, because he was on the billing. Anyway, I won't mention his name, twat. But they must have looked at this and gone, I mean, there must be people, you know, like SEO, like search engine optimization and stuff, who look at long titles and go, bloody hell. Like, really, you want to make a film called The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill But Came Down a Mountain? Really? Think how hard that was for me to say. Are you sure you want to make this film? And they go, yes. But in some ways, I think they're trying to make that their quirk. And also... I mean, we are synopsis Simon to do a synopsis, but you can just read out the title, and to be honest, it gives you a pretty good account of the film. So to be fair, you know...
Well, I mean, you're dead right there. I was sort of thinking, well, okay, this really explains the film. Yeah. And as I was watching the film, I was thinking, is there anything else to this film?
I'm so glad
and
you said that, yeah.
Half an hour in, I was thinking that. An hour in, I was still thinking that. And then I realised, oh, okay, that this literally is... what happens
exactly an hour and 36 and minutes go by else. And you go, okay, well, that was the film then. Good. I could have just read the title and just moved on. Crikey.
A map maker named Anson has come to measure a mountain,
all this way just to measure our mountain,
but he's got an uphill battle on his hands.
Settle our bet. How high is our mountain?
984 feet.
Let's talk about Hugh Grant, because he's got top billing. That's who we're here for. And we always talk about him first. So he is said Englishman. And he's as I'm sure synopsis Simon said, he's a cartographer. They've gone to like make a map. It's World War One, and they've got to measure this mountain that the locals all love. Hugh Grant, what did you think of his look? We've got to go with the look. What did you think of the look?
It was interesting. He looked like an explorer.
Mm.
I mean, he looked like he should be in, you know, the jungles of Brazil, or, you know, in the deserts of Africa. He has a sort of tweed suit plus four look, and he's got this stupid floppy hat on.
Yes, some of the hats that he wears in this are fucking amazing. They're so brilliant. Yeah
so it was a better outfit for you know, some wild explorer in the depths of the Amazon, rather than some bloke who's just climbing up a little hill in Wales.
Exactly. and well, then if we're going to talk about his outfit, so we've got to talk just quickly about his accomplice, who I think he isn't Uncle Vernon, but he looks like Uncle Vernon from Harry Potter, doesn't he?
He does. I thought it was him.
No, I looked it up. I was like, I don't think it's him, but it looks so much like him. And they have very similar sensibilities. Like, Uncle Vernon's just pissed off and annoyed all the time, and that's very much like this guy and that. Again, don't know his name. We're just going to call him Uncle Vernon from now on. But Uncle Vernon's outfit's incredible, including he has a tweed suit, but has decided to go for the pink, bright pink waistcoat as well. Amazing. Incredible.
Well, Diggs, talking of sensibilities, it's quite interesting where this film comes in Hugh Grant's annals.
Yeah.
It's 1995, so it is the same year as Sense and Sensibility. Also the same year as Restoration. So
wow.
there's a real kind of mix of films on the spectrum here. Obviously 1 year after Four Weddings and a Funeral in 1994. And he really has captured that kind of, he's continued that his classic kind of hair look, but a bit more extreme in some ways, because he's gone. I mean, what did you think of it? It was a bit greasy for my liking.
It was. You know, it really reminded me of his look in The Remains of the Day, where his hair was very, very greasy, very slick back. But what I really was very interesting for me was throughout the film, his hair got less greasy and less slick back and more floppy. And I wonder whether that was a stylistic choice, where at first he's very like buttoned up and closed off and English, and by the end, once he's sort of integrated a bit more into the Welsh village and, you know, and just in general just like been a bit more chill, his hair has flopped down. I want to talk about this more detail later, but and he's become a bit more of a romantic. His hair flops down,
yes.
It's less greasy.
Of course,
exactly.
I mean maybe
I don't know whether to save that chat or just to get straight into it, but
I mean, you may as well get straight into it.
When you were saying, oh, when's this film going to get good? I was sat there, I think 40 or 50 minutes in, going, this film could really do with some romance because I am bored. I am bored and I am horny. And it delivered. And obviously I'm so glad that Hugh Grant was the man to do it. But we had Elizabeth.
Betty, for those who know her better.
Of course.
From Cardiff.
Betty from Cardiff. And she is sort of enlisted by Morgan the Goat. People at home must be thinking, what the fuck is going on? This is a weird film. This is a weird film, isn't it?
Just come up with every like Welsh stereotype you can think of and chuck it in this film, basically.
Exactly, because there is quite a fun sequence at the beginning where the guy is explaining, he's being like, everyone in the town, because there's so many Evanses, because there's so many Joneses, you need to add on an extra little thing about them. So this is Evans, you know, you've got Reverend
Butcher.
Jones, you've got Evans the Butcher, you've got, you know. So why Morgan is called the Goat, I think, as I say...
Is he like a goat shaggy?
I think so. And I, because I think, and I'm not, I mean, I wish I was joking, but I think that is actually, that is the inference, because Morgan doesn't attend church on a Sunday. Everyone knows him as the heathen. All the men have gone to fight in the war, but Morgan stayed behind, and he's ginger, and all the new kids that are born there are ginger as well. And I guess some of the new sheep in town, goats in town, are probably ginger as well. Because everyone seems to call him Morgan the Goat. He doesn't really like that. But I think that is the inference.
I hope I don't offend my Welsh friends out there, but it doesn't help the sort of the stereotype that the Welsh are sort of sheep shaggers.
No, and we're not trying to take the piss here. It's a genuine stereotype, but I want to explain that for some of our international listeners. That is a thing.
Well, I'm taking you. I'm taking you for granted.
Morgan the Goat, in some of his deplorable tactics, enlists Betty to pretty much shag Uncle Vernon to try and get him to stay. Because obviously, as I say, if you listen to the synopsis, when the cartographers Hugh Grant and Uncle Vernon go up the hill, they think it's a hill. Yeah, Uncle Vernon did a good job to get up there. When they think it's, they say it's a hill and not a mountain, and the townsfolk are like, fuck that, we're going to make it a mountain, but we've got to make them stay long enough so that we can add some mud to it. And the great plan by Morgan the Goat is to get Betty to woo Uncle Vernon. But obviously she doesn't take a shine to Uncle Vernon, she takes a shining to our young strapping lad, Hugh Grant. And who can blame her?
Indeed.
What did you think of their burgeoning love?
Well, I mean, I kind of sort of nodded off by the time it started.
No, I woke up. I was like, oh, hello.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I actually thought that they were quite a good match.
Yeah. You know, he's very, very bumbling in this, and he's very closed up. And she basically throws herself at him, and And because I think she's been quite impressed, because a man comes in with shell shock. We won't explain why. And Hugh Grant, having served a little bit of time in France, you know, takes his jacket off, gets down, kneels down, and like, and goes, get this man some brandy. Give me your coat. I'll put it behind his head. I'll do this and I'll do that. Unbutton his shirt. He sort of takes ownership of the moment. And like Tara Fitzgerald, aka Betty, looks at this and she's like, this is hot. Even though in every other moment he's been like, oh yeah, like, I couldn't possibly. It's just Hugh Grant at his best. And then she kisses him, and she, as I say, basically throws herself at him. She's like, but he says no, because I think she thinks it's because he's a gentleman. I don't know why he's sort of said no, because eventually she succumbs to it. But from that point onwards, he starts to loosen up and not just be bumbling Hugh Grant. That reminded me a lot of Hugh Grant in Impromptu, where he was scared and frightened and bumbling, but much more like Hugh Grant in like Notting Hill.
He gains him confidence,
exactly.
Doesn't he?
And it's,
yeah,
all,
he does.
It culminates in that line where he says,
I'm not sure that I can rely on Mr. Garrod, but the thing is, I will need an assistant. You wouldn't,
Me?
Why not?
Well, I've never been to Abyssinia. Or Aden. Or Sebastopol. And I can't speak with a posh accent for long.
Well, I think we can get over that.
I'm just a maid servant.
Well, I don't think the word just could apply to you about anything.
Was that a compliment?
Yes, yes. And now I'm going to blush, so would you help me? Please.
Since you said please, and you bless him.
No.
Yes, I will.
Oscar, I'm interested because this film is, I think we'll agree, quite bland. Was there a favourite moment of yours or anything that did stick out?
Well, it's interesting you say it was bland. When I came to watching this film, I'd actually been on a call recently with a client. And as you do, we got onto the subject of Hugh Grant and taking Hugh for granted.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Which was quite amusing. Yeah. He was talking about how much Love Actually they'd watched over Christmas. Mm. And then he was saying, you know, I love Hugh Grant in that film and I love him in Notting Hill. I watched an Englishman who went up a mountain and came down. I watched an Englishman who went up a hill and came down a mountain. And I have to say, I thought that was crap.
Yeah.
So I was kind of apprehensive going into this one. But there were a couple of moments which I did enjoy. Mm. One of which was when they first declare that the mountain is not 1,000 feet. To apparently classify as a mountain, it has to be above 1,000 feet. And it comes in at 980. And Hugh Grant comes down and he announces this and he's just at his absolute bumbling best.
Mr. Yes. Morgan, with your permission. Gentlemen, we have now completed the survey of Fengu, and I have to inform you that it is 984 feet.
What?
Now, I realise that this may be disappointment to you, but I would ask you to remember that it is just a measurement, and in no way should detract from the beauty of, or indeed, your affection for this hill.
That bit's genius, and what I love is that building up to that bit, every time Hugh Grant has tried to pronounce the name of the mountain, he's always pronounced it wrong. He's always like, Forangara. He's like, hello everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, of the mountain, Forango. It's so good.
And just the sort of indignation and the shock on these Welsh villages,
exactly,
when they've been told by some English git that their mountain is not a mountain. They're just, you know, they are so angry, and it is quite sweet and quite amusing. And I think that is the comedy, the comedy, I say in inverted commas, that they were trying to kind of portray in this film. It's quite niche, and like you said at the beginning of the film, like quirky is probably the right word, but it's kind of, I think the comedy comes at this, like, in how incensed the Welsh are that someone has come and told them that their hill their mountain is not a mountain.
Yes, that's it. And it is quirky, and moments like that are fun. And, but you know what? It's so interesting you said the word sweet, because I, the whole way through the film, I was like, this is sweet. And I think it's the kind of thing that I would be like, come on, Grandma, I'm going to put a film on for us. And it's got Hugh Grant in it again, I know. But come on, let's watch it. And at the end, she'd go, oh, and I go, yeah, it was good, wasn't it? All right, back to bed. You know, but it's the kind of thing that where, you know, I'm not going to show her The Gentleman. I'm not going to show her, I'm not even going to show her Notting Hill. It's the kind of film where you can't really come away and nothing about this film is going to piss you off. Like, this is what I was saying just now to my mum. She was like, how was it? And I was like, you know what? It had no edge to it. I like Hugh Grant films that are actually properly really bad, because then it's like I can talk about how bad they are. I like Hugh Grant films that are really fucking good, because then I can talk about how good they are. This film is so middle of the run. I don't know what to say.
You've hit the nail on the head there, really, Diggs. It was neither here nor there, really. It amazed me that a film crew had, like, you know, in my job as a kind of journalist, communications person, whatever, I am always like probably pitching ideas and like that kind of thing, like coming up with ideas and hoping people say yes to them. I don't know really if I pitched an idea about a film with some Welsh mountain and some like English bloke who has to go and measure it, and then all the villagers get upset about it, and I want to call it An Englishman Who Went Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain. I think I get laughed out of the room. So it just kind of, it sort of amazes me in some ways that a big production company has put a lot of time and effort and money into a story that's pretty mediocre.
The thing is, though, is there's loads of fodder like this. I mean, a film that comes to mind is the only thing that I can think of. It's a film called The Lady in the Van with Maggie Smith and, you know, but that's a film that I'm like, grandmas will love it. But actually, I've watched that the other day. It's bloody brilliant. It's amazing. But it's the kind of thing that you'll stick on at 3 p.m. Sunday afternoon, and it's like not going to offend anyone in the room. And
yeah, and it's, you know what it is? It's people love films about communities.
Yeah.
And like against the odds communities, where it's like a community who have their back against the wall, but all come together in support of the common goal. And that's exactly what this is.
That's exactly right.
It reminds me it reminds me of another film set in Wales, which escapes the name of me, but it's about gay minors, and it's got Bill Nighy in it.
Mate.
I can't remember the name right now, but it's a really good film. And it taps into that same thing about kind of like small town Welsh nationalism and patriotism to some extent, about like, you know, you can't come here and tell us what to do. This is like our history, our community. You don't understand us, and you can't tell us what to do, and we're going to show you ultimately that you can't go and do stuff like this, and we're going to band together as a community, and you know, for one good goal. And that's kind of what it is, really.
Exactly. And that's such a universal message. That's what I mean. Like, you kind of can't watch this film and not get on board with it. But that's why, I mean, it has no edge to it. What I would say, though, is I don't know if you would be laughed out of a room if you pitched it. But I think if you then showed them the final piece, everyone would go, that was fine. But if the execution was a bit different, if they really turned the dial on the quirkiness, but like really went for it, or if they really turned the dial on, I don't know, the romance or the comedy, like there were loads of other elements they could have really like added to or maybe tightened up. But, you know, at the end of the day, it just became like, honestly, Oscar, I cannot tell you of a more bog standard film that I have ever, ever seen in my entire life.
Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. Taking you for granted. What did you think, lads? Were they taking you for granted?
Oscar, it's that time of the podcast where we like to ask each other, are we taking you for granted? Do you know what you're going to say?
I don't know, Diggs. This is about as hard as it gets, isn't it?
It really is.
I'm going to... I think I'm teetering more onto the yes, we are taking you for granted. As much as you say, it is a sweet film. It's middle of the road. It's, you know, it's kind of granny watching, if I can put it way. I don't love the fact that Hugh stars in this film. Like, I don't think it's really adding to his repertoire. I think it was quite an easy role, being like the sort of English, the sort of posh English bloke in a place with non-posh English blokes.
Yeah.
And the storyline, like you said, it didn't do much for me. And I don't think he, like, there were some nice moments in there, and you know, he played the role as it was meant to be, but I don't think it was particularly jaw-dropping or inspiring in any way. So that's kind of my verdict.
Yeah, I think, do you know what, to make this really bland, I'm going to say this film is not taking Hugh for granted, because it wasn't jaw-dropping and it wasn't terrible. So, and it was sweet and it was fine, and Hugh Grant was a bumbling posh British guy, and there was, you know, and maybe I'm pinning all my hopes on this romance, but yeah. And I feel like, you know, let's be honest, the only way, what I will say is, yeah, it's not taking Hugh for granted, but don't watch it unless it's the last Hugh Grant film you have left to watch. And then you should.
By that reasoning, surely it is taking you.
But it's not that bad. It's just not worth anyone's time, because they're really. It's not bad enough to enjoy it being bad, or to have something to say about it being bad. And it's not good enough for the same reasons. It's just so middle of the run. I can't explain that enough. And for that reason, we have to be split on this. You have to say it is. I have to say it isn't, because that will show you how middle of the run this boring film is. But it's not even that bored. I wasn't bored. I was just like, what have you got for me?
I was it was a strange one. To be honest, I would say I was bored past the hour mark. I was bored. The first hour, I was still trying to figure out exactly what the point of this film was, and what, you know, is there going to be anything beyond the fact that they want to build 20 foot on top of the mountain? No. Like,
and they,
after I figured out that was it, I kind of switched off a bit.
Yeah. I think there could have been, that's the thing, there could have been fun little set pieces along the way. There could have been little chinks in the road and blocks and stuff, but it didn't, never really felt there was any real threat at all. And I have to get this out. You say about the beginning where they set that up. They set that up in such an obvious and boring way. Like, the Englishmen come into the pub, and then someone goes, "Doesn't a hill have to be 1,000 feet long to be a fucking mountain?" And it was like, who says that?
We got the picture. Diggs thinks it's middle of the road and boring everyone.
Yes, if you couldn't tell.
Now shut up.
Exactly. Well, I'll shut up. I'll let you guys get back to your lives, Oscar, you included. I mean, please don't watch this film, but do go away. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Search up Taking You For Granted in those places. Email us, takingyouforgranted@gmail.com. Anything else to add, Oscar?
Well, I'm going to just say, actually, go away and watch this film. You're neither going to gain or lose anything by watching this, and something might just flutter in
that
your
is
heart.
Very true. Like, your days and nights at the moment, if they're anything like mine, are so bland, and every day melts into the other one. So watch this film. It will take nothing away from that, and it will slot seamlessly in. I think that's a great shout. Go away and watch the film, but then also follow us on all the socials. Fantastic.
Alright.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. It's been an absolute pleasure. Oscar, thank you so much.
Thanks, Diggs. See you next week.
Taking Hugh for Granted is produced, edited, and presented by Diggory Waite and Oscar Beardmore Gray. The producers of Taking Hugh for Granted would like to state that this podcast is in no way associated with the actor Hugh John Mungo Grant, nor does it endorse his views or represent him in any way. Instead, by creating this podcast, Oscar and Diggory hope to celebrate Hugh's illustrious career, reliving his old classics and shedding light on some of his hidden gems. Hugh, if you're listening, we hope you approve.